The next case I want to talk about, we actually reported on the Tiki Island case last year, but there's been an awful lot since then. There have been two appellate opinions so far. Last year, I think we saw this slide. This is Tiki Island. On the left side over there is the mainland of Texas, and on the way far background, that's Galveston. You can see the causeway that connects the two. And Tiki Island is the very last thing as you get on the causeway. There's this appendage sticking out into West Bay. There's a plan view of it. You can see it's fairly heavily laced with canals. There's not a whole lot of land left in Tiki Island. It's pretty well built out, but there's one big chunk, and there's a developer who's proposing this. It's a major marina development. And the background, the history on this, is that the city had never had a zoning ordinance before. They'd started to adopt a zoning ordinance, and Premier, that's the developer, comes rolling in and submits a preliminary plat. I think it might have been submitted as a final plat, with notes describing this major marina project. There's a copy of the plat itself, page one. There's page two. You'll notice it's a little heavy on text, and that's because there are a lot of plat notes on it. There's one of them, plat note 9. Don't try to read it. It's too small. There's an awful lot in this paragraph. I'll tell you what it includes. It describes a major mixed-use development that's going on this site. It describes 150 residential units, 450 dry stack boat slips, 150 wet slips, hotel, restaurant, club, ship store, general retail and office, a fuel station, and then it also talks about phasing, ownership, rental, timeshare, and condo. This is one power-packed paragraph. I'd like to meet the person who wrote this someday because it's important to the outcome of the case. Anyway, the city goes ahead and adopts the zoning. Remember, he's filed for a plat, and while this is pending, the city adopts the zoning, and it prohibits many of the parts of this project. You know, some of that heavy, high-intensity use just wouldn't be allowed. The city then denies the plat. Premier tries to negotiate, to at least recognize my vested rights, and so forth. Premier sues. This is the first lawsuit, or first iteration of the lawsuit. And the court says that claim was not ripe. And they describe it as saying, well, I think the court was just not sure why that plat was denied. If it was old rules, it might have been legitimate. But if it was new rules, it might have been forbidden. So anyway, it was sent back down. And Premier starts again trying to get approvals. They submit for a PUD, also three different plats. They're all denied. They ask for certifications of the city's reasons for denying them, which you're allowed to do under the subdivision platting statute. There were no administrative appeals available, apparently. And eventually, Premier gets back to court. They file an amended petition, and they sue everybody, the city, the alderman, the mayor. They seek a declaratory judgment of their vested rights, also mandamus. They want a takings judgment. The city comes back again and says, oh, wait a minute, this declaratory judgment claim is not right. The city has not yet applied our ordinance to this project. It's all just preliminary stuff so far, they were saying. The court gets a hold of it and says, let's look at this. What they're really trying to get here in this declaratory judgment is a ruling on their vested rights. Did they get there before the rules changed? The city, according to the court, had multiple opportunities to determine those vested rights. And the court decides that further applications would be futile. Therefore, there's a justiciable controversy. And oh, by the way, they read the vested rights statute, and it authorizes declaratory judgments. So therefore, this claim is ripe as to the declaratory judgment, and they wouldn't dismiss it. I believe it's gone back for trial now, that last report. The next category, we're in a new division of the paper. This one is about permits and approvals, but we're looking at challenges where one neighbor is complaining about something going on his neighbor's land. In the Schmitz case, Denton County Cowboy Church also has got a couple of opinions. We also reported on this one last year, but there's been new development. And when I first heard about this case, I thought it was like these cowboy churches you see in West Texas, you know, where they have they all use something like this, where they have the horse that's kind of bowing down and the cowboy kneeling in the cross. That's kind of like a trademark for cowboy church. But that's not this case. This is a big cowboy church. The first go around, the church bought 7 acres, zoned SF2, and they started holding weekly rodeos outdoors. Here's a picture of the site. You can see their little church buildings, the white roof building, and the outdoor rodeo arena is right there by it. Now, that's not really why this case was filed. That's why this case was filed. They bought 12 more acres, and they built a big indoor rodeo or church arena. The plaintiff lives, or one of the plaintiffs lives right there.